This is Jerry Sands. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the tied for first, finished in second Hanshin Tigers knows no limits. Today is Thursday, November the 4th, and this is episode 138. I'm your host, T-Ray. With us in the opener was Jerry Sands. We'll talk about him soon. But with me on this show is Sanjay in Hawaii. How you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing all right. Here we are still dealing with Wednesday. It's hump day, but hey, the weekend is imminent.
You know, it has been a long time since we've had any Hanshin Tigers baseball to watch, let alone talk about. But that doesn't mean we don't have stuff to talk about today. There's always plenty with the playoffs right around the corner. So stick around. We are going to be talking first round playoff preview with you right after the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
So first up is our man, Jerry Sands, who started the show with a greeting to you. This is maybe one of the few times that we're actually talking rumors on this show, because I tend to not want to share things unless they are actually confirmed as fact. However, at some point last week, there was a report out that Jerry Sands would not be on the roster for the first round of the playoffs. And this caused a major ripple, especially in the Hanshin fan community, as to why are they, you know, not bringing him back for this chance. He's done well on the farm and he's worked really hard. And the very next day he was at Koshien practicing. And then people said, wait a minute. So was yesterday fake news or not? And we don't actually have the answer on that, because I haven't heard one way or the other. And so it's kind of up in the air as to whether or not Jerry Sands will be on this top squad roster for the playoffs, unless you've heard something, Sanjay.
No, but I saw what you wrote in the Facebook H10 page about how they could be creative with subbing, you know, Joe Gunkel in and out depending on their requirements against the Giants. I thought that was very smart.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have had to deactivate Gunkel, which I don't think they've done. And so now it's almost too late to do that. But if they had listened to me when I'd said it, there still would have been time.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody listens to me. Woe is me. Okay, let's move into some injury reports. And these are quite important, because at season's end, as we reported in the last episode, Yuki Nishi went down with an elbow problem, but he is actually okay now. He threw in the Phoenix League just a couple of innings, but he did fine down there. Looked like his old self. He said he felt good and he is ready to go. So that's some good news right there. Also, Koji Chikamoto injured himself on the 21st against the Dragons and missed the final three games of the season. Well, most of that fourth to last game as well. He should be okay as well. He has been in practice games and he says he is running just fine. And then finally, Haruto Takahashi, who also got hurt in that same game, the fourth to last game of the season against the Dragons, with the elbow issue, he could end up starting one of these games against the Giants. We will talk more starting rotation soon, but of course we just hope that our dear Haruto is okay right now. So as far as the injury front, I believe that is all, at least when it comes to the playoff-bound players. As for other news with the team or with former players and former people with the team, no cuts to report of, but our dearly beloved legendary shortstop, the one that Nakano idolized growing up, you know him and I know him, Takashi Toritani, announced his retirement just a couple of days ago. He spent 16 years with the Tigers from 2004 to 19, and then the last two seasons with the Chiba Latte Marines. Said his time with the Tigers was really hard. And when the headlines say that, it really stings. But then when you read behind it, he was just saying, look, like, I played game in and game out. I played every inning of every game for a long time. That took a lot out of me. It wasn't that he was saying playing with the Tigers is a really fatiguing thing, or like I hated playing for that organization, but it did sound like he had a great time with the Marines. He said he was really glad that he got to join the Chiba Latte Marines for those two seasons. And part of it, this is on the surface again, this is what he said to the media, and so it does sound good. He said, I got to experience baseball in a way that I never got to with the Tigers, meaning I had to come into the game midway through the game. I had to come in for just one at bat. I went to, you know, I played defense just a little bit, and I had to prepare for entire seasons of that. Also, I spent time on the farm for the first time in my career. So things like that, he said, made his 2 years with the Marines definitely worthwhile. But a big otsukaresama to Toritani-san, who leads this franchise in games played as well as career hits.
Yes, otsukaresama, Birdman.
Man, my favorite memory of Toritani. You know, I'm not a longtime fan, so I haven't known the team since the beginning of his career. But the time that I remember, I was watching the game on TV and he got hit in the face by a pitch. It broke his nose. And the very next day he came back wearing the Batman mask. And I was at that game at Koshien Stadium, and the applause that he got, he grounded out to third, but he was the hero right then. It was like, man, this guy is the Iron Man of all Iron Mans right now. Unbelievable. Got any memories of Toritani?
Well, yeah, you know what? Actually, seeing him working out in Hawaii is one of my biggest memories. And he was ripped. Dude was built, man. He's working out. No wonder he's the Iron Man.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily know it just from looking at him in uniform, but surely, yeah, like if you saw him working out as you did, that would become quite evident. So there's a good chance he'll be back in baseball in some form. In fact, he even said, like, you know what? Baseball made me who I am today, and I want to give something back to the game post-playing career. And so in some way, shape, or form, he will be involved in baseball probably from next season. I doubt he'll be on the coaching staff for the Tigers or the Marines, but you never know. He's just a great guy, though. I mean, you know, a philanthropist and, you know, a father of, what, 5 kids, I believe. And so, you know, he's got his hands full. All right. In other former Tigers players news, this is the big one that sent more ripples across the nation of Japan than anything baseball related as far back as I can remember. Tsuyoshi Shinjo is now the manager of the Nippon Ham Fighters. In a move that surprised some and actually made some people kind of upset, saying that it's a bit of a farce that he is the manager. Well, he is, and his presser is actually in about 3 hours' time. And so we're going to finally hear from him as to why he took the job and what he hopes to get out of it. But some interesting stuff that he's already said, like he's become a bit more active on Twitter, and he said, you know what, I think we're going to do some fan voting for the starting lineup on some days. How does that feel in Japan, where like everything is by the book? He is about to throw that book into the dumpster, my friend.
I'm loving it. I'm so looking forward to what he's going to be up to. The man thinks outside the box. He's so far outside the box, he's like, in a different building.
A different building than the box. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. And so actually, he has already started to piece together his coaching staff. And one of those coaches is a former coach, well, now a former coach of the Hanshin Tigers. We saw 5 of our coaches leaving the squad this offseason. I believe they're all farmhands this season. So guys like Shimizu, guys like Yamada, who is the one who went to the Fighters, and Hirano, and I can't name the other two. I'm really sorry. They're probably important guys, more important than me.
Yeah.
But it's going to bring in some new blood, and it'll be interesting to see if that new blood ends up on the top squad or down on the farm in 2022. Well, that is what we've got for the rumors and news. And so before we jump into recapping the last 4 regular season games and the exciting conclusion of the 2021 pennant race, let's give some thanks to some of the patrons. So first of all, the newest patron out there is Shane Barclay, who is the owner of Japan Ball that both myself and Sanjay are very fond of. Shane Barclay is the man. Japan Ball is a great tour. If you ever want to come out to Japan and experience baseball like you never have before, they take care of all the details. You just put down your reservation at japanball.com and they will get you on your way to being on an exciting tour. They're also either currently or they just finished up in the Dominican Republic. So they're expanding tours to other countries as well. Get on board with japanball.com. Thanks to Shane Barclay. We've also got Richard Dyrus.
Thank you, Shane. Sorry.
It's all right. He needs some more thanks. We've also got Richard Geiwitz, We've got Tom Zilla from Being Kansai. Go check out that social media account. It is great. He did some good Halloween posts on Instagram about what it was like in Osaka during Halloween. Rick Silvers is on the digital platform, and so I believe is Michael Schulke. And lastly, Doug, with a big, big respect to T-Ray and Sanjay for making the podcast that I'm always looking forward to. Well, Doug, I'm also always looking forward to doing the podcast, and I think Sanjay is too. So thank you. And a big shout out to the little boy, Teo, who was born this year. Go Tigers!
Go Teo!
Right, so this was the pennant race of the ages, for the ages, for the record books. Unfortunately, it didn't end how we hoped it would, but this one came right down to the wire. So let's recap the final four games of the season. Of course, the Tigers had to win all four and should have won all four, didn't win all four. And so that's why we're not celebrating the U show right now. Okay, so the 21st against the Dragons, which was the day we last recorded. Haruto Takahashi, my goodness, you are a brilliant pitcher, especially against the Dragons. One hitter through eight innings. That one guy was out on a double play, so he faced 24 batters. Chikamoto with an RBI, grounded a second in the bottom of the first, and then he left the game with a hamstring injury. Shimada with a two RBI double, and Takahashi with an RBI single, and then Rojas with a two with two doubles in this game as well. So really the big story in this one was the two injuries. And as we reported earlier in Rumors and News, hopefully they will be okay come this weekend. So 6-1 win against the Dragons with Ogawa giving up the one run in the top of the ninth. Then we face the Carp in Hiroshima for two. We had to win. You know, they kind of helped us out a little bit by taming the Swallows earlier in the week. So we tied the first one 1-1. Akiyama looked good. He has been historically good against the Carp, but he had a rough outing last time around. This time, just one run off of two doubles in the bottom of the third. Other than that, he was good. Our bats could not get it going against Morishita, but in the top of the seventh, Rojas walked, Sato with a single, and Sakamoto, the catcher, our Sakamoto, with an RBI single for our lone run. These teams combined for 9 hits on the day. So it was a very slow moving affair, and we really wanted that one run, but we didn't get it. And by the way, on this day, the Giants actually pulled us a solid as well, beating the Swallows 11-1. So we gained a half game in the standings, which was good. The next day, unfortunately, we didn't gain any ground because the Giants bowed down to the Swallows 6-4. We, though, won 7-2. And that was thanks in large part to a huge hit that propelled us to victory in the top of the second. Our man, Teraki Sato, with his first home run in almost 2 months, a 3-run home run, a no doubter. Man, did I ever miss seeing those balls travel over the fence off of his bat.
That video clip is worth rewatching again. That was such a bomb.
I'm going to watch it right after we record. There you go.
I think so too.
Adding to our total, though, Itohara with a sac fly in the top of the sixth, Sakamoto with a 2-run triple. And we got another one as well in the top of the seventh. And Masashi Ito was outstanding in this one, going 5 2/3, allowing just one run. And then Oyokawa, Alcantara, and Kobayashi had shutout innings. And Baba with the other lone stain that was a run against in the bottom of the eighth. But we won 7-2. So all's good. We are still, a half game behind? A game behind? Yeah. I don't remember. It was really tight. And we're going into our last game of the season, and the Swallows have got 3 left, including one on this same night. So it's us against the Dragons at Koshien. That's a recipe for success, but it wasn't. Aoyagi was not his usual self. Got into a jam in the top of the first, got out of it with a double play, got himself into a jam in the top of the second. Should have gotten out of it with a double play, but Itohara threw the ball away at first base. They scored a run. And then later in the game, Oyokawa allowed a bases-loaded single against Oshima. And then they got one more run. I forget how. I don't really care. We only got 4 hits in this one, 3 of them off of Itohara's bat. The other one, I think, was an Oyama single. So we lost 4-0 in a very disappointing game. And then, actually, the Swallows game had ended just 20 minutes prior, I believe, and they won 5-1 against the Bay Stars. So when we recorded the final out, which was a Yusuke Oyama G6, that was the end of our dreams of the title. So the Swallows have a game advantage on us going into their final two. They actually lost those two to the Carp. And we end up with a 77-56-10 record, which is exactly the same in the sense that we were 21 games above 500, just like the Swallows ended. But they were 73. Am I getting this right? 73-52-18. They had 8 more ties than us, 4 fewer losses, and 4 fewer wins. So they get the title because of stupid ties and the calculations. C'est la vie. All right. So that's it. We're in second place. Shall we end the show? No, we have got some playoffs. Before we jump into the playoff preview, which is our hot topic, let's choose some players of the month for October.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the player of the month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your player of the month.
So as always, Sanjay, we'll start with the hitters. And I want to start with you. Who have you got as your hitter of the month for October? Mr. October is?
Mr. October is, and this may not be what you expected me to do, but I'm going to go with Mr. Mel Rojas Jr., who hit 294 in the month of October with 2 home runs. His OPS was a very respectable 835. And I think that he made a decent amount of difference in the games that we did win. So that's my man.
So the interesting thing about Rojas Jr. is that he did have a good batting average and he did set the table nicely. And I don't know how many chances he had with runners in scoring position, but his WRIP was just awful in the month of October. His worst, actually, of his time with the Tigers. But I'm still going to agree with you. I think he did a great job in October. Definitely looked way more comfortable at the plate. And I tweeted about this at some point during the month. Say what you want about his, you know, his total, what his, or his final, what, 213 or 217 batting average. He looked way more comfortable at the plate in October. Had a lot of really good quality at-bats, even the ones that ended in outs. They were high quality. So I'm okay with your choice. But I'm going to go with the captain. Believe it or not, Yusuke Oyama, who batted 321 on the month. I know he missed a couple of games in there with some back problems, but he had an OPS of 923, and he was tied for the team lead with 8 RBI, which is not a very high total considering that the team played, what, like 20 games in October. But that's the way it went this month for us. We didn't score a lot of runs. And guess who finished second on the team in RBIs in October? Sorry, it was a tie with Oyama and Marte for the top. Who is in third then?
I don't have it in front of me.
No, you'd be surprised. It is my runner-up for hitter of the month, and that would be Kairi Shimada. 7 RBI.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. He was
I looked at him. I looked at him for hitter of the month too, but his average was just nowhere near respectable.
Yeah, yeah. His WRIP was really high, but his average was like 220, 230, something like that. Yeah. Okay. Pitcher of the month, and this is where it's going to be a really tough choice because we had an outstanding month from the mound, did we not?
Yes, we certainly did. It's hard to choose.
So if you want to choose two, because I got 5 on my list, bro, so I can choose 2 good ones that you don't have. Seriously.
Okay, well, my 2 are the low-hanging fruit, of course, right? So the first one is, of course, someone you've already mentioned, Haruto. It was 2-1 in record. But it was on the back of a 1.24 ERA and a walks and hits per innings pitched, a whip of just 0.586. That's
outstanding.
Crazy. That's a crazy number. But you think that's crazy. My other guy, low-hanging fruit, Suachan, Mr. Roberto Suarez. He pitched in 11 games, had a 0.00 ERA. I mean, you can't do any better than that. 16 Ks in 12 innings pitched. And his whip, believe it or not, was 0.4375. Less than half a hit per inning. That's nuts.
Yeah. And he doesn't walk people anymore either. So, yeah. Outstanding. So, I think he did walk one guy in the month. But, I mean, one walk in 12 innings? Okay. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty unbelievable stuff. Okay. So, you took the two that I also appreciated. But I've got 3 starters then that you could give it to any of them and I would still probably be okay with it. The first would be Masashi Ito. who just continued to wow us with, you don't see rookies doing this very often, getting through the entire year in the rotation without being deactivated. But this is a guy that had five mound appearances, including one in relief, his first career one, but four starts, 27.2 innings pitched, an ERA of 0.98, a whip of 0.9. And, you know, his usual self, he didn't strike out a whole lot of guys, 15, but he only walked six. And that would be like basically the equivalent of 2 per 9 innings, which is pretty outstanding. So, and his record was 3-0, which helped him to end the season with 10 wins, which the last time a lefty did that for the Hanshin Tigers was a left-handed rookie would be Yutaka Enatsu in 1967. So the man is in some rarefied air up there. My next guy there would be Mr. Joe Gunkel, who also had a great month, going 17 innings pitched in three starts, a 1-0 record with an ERA of 1.06 and a whip of 0.76. So as we've both been saying, guys were just not getting on base against our pitchers this month. Very good stuff out of Gunkel. I know he had a bit of that rough patch where I think he walked and beaned a guy in the same inning, but other than that, he was outstanding. I'm a little bit saddened that he didn't get to the 10 win mark like Ito did, because that would have given us four guys on our staff with 10 wins or more, which would be pretty historical right there as well. My third guy, just for kicks, we'll add him in because why not, would be the guy who started the last game of the year, and that would be Koyo Aoyagi, who in four starts, and you know, the last one lasted two innings only, 22 innings pitched, only three earned runs against, ERA of 1.23, whip of 1.09. So not quite as stellar as the others, but still pretty good stuff out of the blue goat. That's some good pitching there, my friend.
Seriously. Toshu Okoku, as they say, the kingdom of pitchers.
Yep, that was us in October. And hopefully it will be us in November as well. Let's get into the hot topic. Hot topics. Of course, what else could it be but previewing this upcoming playoff series against the Yomiuri Giants? And so, my friend, as you know, and probably most listeners know, but we'll tell you just so that everyone's on the same page, we are hosting the Giants for a best of three series, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, of course, all at Koshien Stadium. The 6th and 7th are day games. The 8th is a night game. And this is a best of three, but for the Tigers to advance, they only need to go 1-1-1. And there will be no extra innings, which means that a tie is entirely plausible, in which case we only have to win one of the other two games. So I'm not going to say it's in the bag or anything like that. It most certainly isn't, but it does play in our favor. So what we need to look at here is what our starting lineup may look like, as well as our rotation for these three games. And then we will do the same for the Giants. And so as long as everybody is healthy enough to play, I'm going to assume they're going to bring Chikamoto back into the leadoff spot with Nakano after him. I mean, that worked so well for us all season. I can't see them not doing that, right, Sanjay?
I agree with you. And he's the little engine that could. He's the one that's going to make, you know, start us off. As Chikamoto goes, so does the Tigers' offense. So, yes.
Hey, I'll tell you a little something, and this is for everybody out there. You wouldn't believe who gave me a phone call Tuesday morning. I'm sitting in my office where I am right now, just getting ready for classes. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. It's Alex Ramirez, former Kantoku of the Yokohama Bay Stars. You know, as you may have heard in a previous show, we kind of ran into each other at the Tokyo Olympics, but he called me up out of nowhere. He wasn't returning a call or answering a question of mine. And we just started talking ball, and he was talking about this Tigers Giants series with me. So I felt like I kind of got like a little bit of coaching for this this podcast. But one of the things he said was the Tigers need to run against the Giants. That's going to be definitely a key to victory. So as you said, the little engine that could, Chikamoto and Nakano need to get those engines roaring. That's going to throw off the pitchers. That's also, I don't think that they have a catcher that can stop those two guys. So that's going to be key. Okay, moving on in the lineup then. Jeffrey Marte, I think, will bat third, followed by Yusuke Oyama. That would be my guess, as long as Oyama's healthy, his back is okay. I think they'll probably put Itohara back in that five slot where he seemed to do all right. He's definitely not a power bat, but he's definitely getting it done and setting up the bottom half of the order. I believe probably Rojas Jr. will be sixth. I hope they put Sato in seventh. And then here's the question of the hour. And we talked about this in the last post show, I think. Who to put in at catcher for this playoff run? And you said it last time, you got to go with your hot hand and it's got to be Sakamoto, right? Or do you think Umeno deserves a shot here?
Well, you know what? I think that you got to go with Sakamoto right now. And it's worth pointing out that in the last 11 games that Sakamoto started, the Tigers went 6-2-3. I mean, you can't get much better than that. So, yeah, I think Sakamoto, the way he's handled the pitchers, don't fix it if it ain't broke.
Well, when you consider that we would need to go 0-2-1 to lose this series, yeah, that's very impressive stuff right there. I know Umeno is probably chomping at the bit and wants to do his part as well. I read a really good article. It was kind of like his column in a sense. Like he, I think, wrote it. And he talked about how he was proud that he got through the whole season. He played in more games than he'd ever played in before. He was proud to be able to work with the pitchers, happy to be able to get them wins. Like even when they left the game early, if he was able to kind of lead the bullpen and hold on to the leads, he was proud of that as well. So I think he's got a lot to be proud of. And I wouldn't hesitate to put him in if the situation warrants it. And, you know, it might be that one of our starting pitchers would do better under Umeno than under Sakamoto. It is entirely possible. Speaking of which, who do you think is going to get the starts for our team? I haven't really seen it officially announced, so I'm going to leave that to you. And what do you think is going to happen with our games 1, 2, and 3? Who do we put in?
Well, I think that this article that I read is probably right on the money. And that means that in the first game, we're going to start Takahashi Haruto. Game two, we're going to go with Blue Goat Aoyagi. And if needed, game three, it's Joe Gunkel. And that leaves, not to jinx ourselves or anything, but Akiyama, who pitched, I believe, last night or yesterday during the day against an Indie League team, would be available to pitch game one against the Swallows.
Right. That's entirely possible. I would not be surprised to see Nishi in here somewhere as well, possibly as the starter for game three. And actually, when I was talking to Rami, he was saying, like, you know what, if I were manager, I would put, I don't, maybe I shouldn't blow his thing. He's probably doing a YouTube video about this anyways, but he was saying, I would put Nishi in for game one as the starter, see if you can get him to go five, six innings and hold him to one or two runs, and then just ride the bullpen the rest of the way and try to squeeze out that win against Sugano, and then save your aces in the hole for games two and three. Now, he also said, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but I was the manager of the Bay Stars in 2017, and we stole a series out of Koshien Stadium. And one of the tactics that I used was, I knew that we weren't going to get very many runs or any runs against Messenger in game one, Randy Messenger, that is. So I put in Ino as the starter, and I saved Imanaga for game two, thinking that, you know, if we could steal one with Ino, great, but I'm not going to waste my ace pitcher in a game that we're probably not going to score runs. And, you know, the strategy paid off. The Bay Stars beat us in three games. So I just thought, you know what, that would be an interesting trick to pull or something to try against the Giants.
Interesting. You and Rami-chan, man, you got the hotline going there.
Man, I cannot even say enough about what a great guy he is. I'll just throw this in as a like extra flair at the end. But so at the end of our call, he said, hey, you know, if you're ever in Yokohama, let's make sure we get together. You come to my gym and we'll work out together. And, you know, I was just in stitches. I was like, are you kidding? Like, do I really want to work out with a guy as built as you? But of course, I would jump at that opportunity, right? No matter how foolish I'd look.
Yeah, but this is a guy, I think you tweeted him doing push-ups with, I believe, 50-pound barbells, or not barbells, the weights on his back, right? He was doing like 200 pounds plus his weight in push-ups.
It was crazy. Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I mean, the guy is just crazy, you know, loaded. He's yoked. All right. So I've got a question for you then, Sanjay. Who is the key to our victory against the Omiya Giants? Now, let's also keep in mind that this season we had a winning record against them, 13-9-3. And I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework. I don't know how that breaks down at Koshien, but I think we might have had a winning record at Koshien. But who's the key to victory? Sorry, who's the key to victory for our team?
I am going to give you two names that are keys to victories, and for two quite different reasons. The first one is one we've mentioned already, the little engine that could, Chikamoder. The Chikamoder at the top of the lineup, he gets on base, he puts pressure on the pitchers, and, you know, not to pretend like I think the way Ramichan does, but really it's kind of obvious that we need to go with Chikamoto and Nakano, and who knows, maybe even Shimada, right? I mean, those three guys at the top of the lineup did some damage too. So Chikamoto is the main guy on the defense side or on the hitter side. But the other one that I'm kind of keeping a close eye on is Oyokawa, because I think he's going to be called in to do a lot of things. And I really hope that they don't ask too much of him, because, you know, we don't want to overuse him. We don't want to make him lose his confidence. But I think he's going to be a very key player for us in between the starter and our 7, 8, 9 pitchers.
There you go. Good call on both of those. I would be in agreement with those as well, for sure. I'm going to go with our cleanup hitter, whoever it might be. Whoever's in that number four spot has got to produce with some power. That was a big issue going down the stretch. Marte was pretty awful in the number four slot when Oyama was out. Marte actually was just not very good in October at all. And so hopefully he'll be able to pick things up significantly. But even Oyama, if he's in that number four spot, we need home runs. I will say that we'll probably need a key home run at some point. If you go back to this series, do you remember when we were down against the Giants at Koshien and against Vieira, Oyama hit a walk-off home run. And that not only, obviously it changed the outcome of that game, but I really think it changed the outcome of how the Tigers looked at the Giants for the remainder of that season. It was just like, look, these guys are not invincible and they don't have our number anymore, because look who we got. And so we need for Oyama to be that guy if he is in that number four spot, which I think he will be. All right, let's look a little bit at our enemies. I mean, I hate to, you know, give the Giants a bit of spotlight or talk about them, you know, in depth, but let's look at who they might be sending our way. And so this is what I've got as a guess for their starting lineup. And I could be wrong on some of these, but I would say probably they'll have Matsubara, right fielder, batting first. Sakamoto, shortstop, batting second. Maru, center fielder, batting third. Okamoto, third baseman, batting fourth. Wheeler, left fielder, batting fifth. Nakata, first baseman, batting sixth. Oshiro, catcher, batting seventh. And Yoshikawa, second baseman, batting eighth, is the best guess I have.
So here's the little thing that I mentioned to you just before we hit record. One of the articles that I was reading on the Giants, and like you, I don't like to read about them, said that Okamoto actually left practice with a pain in his oblique, in his left oblique, on October 31, and has been on a separate exercise menu or training regimen since then.
Good.
So it's not clear that he's available to start, and which then moves their lineup around a little bit. But also, the key player for them is going to be Maru, who unfortunately was kind of hot in October. He regained some of his old pizzazz, I guess. So he hit 361 in October with 8 home runs. And the other item that I begrudgingly note is that he hit against Aoyagi, our number two starter, probably. He went 12 for 21. So that's the guy we got to contain, in my mind.
We got Maru out 9 times, bro. Look at it the other way.
There you go.
That's 3 innings of outs. Okay, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so interesting analysis there. Thanks a lot for sharing some insider information about the Orange Men. My understanding is that they are going to be throwing Sugano in as the opening day, if you will, game one starter. And then this was my guess all along. Rami kind of contradicted me when we talked, but I think Yuki Takahashi will be the game two starter because he's really good against the Tigers and he's quite good at Koshien Stadium. And then Rami had said they would maybe use Yamaguchi as the game two starter. I just read that he might be the game three starter, and they're also going to have Togo and Mercedes in the old arm barn. So here's the other interesting thing to note is that the Giants have gone on record as saying we are going to use our bullpen guys. You know, we're going to rotate them in and out, or we're going to be swapping pitchers on the mound very rapidly because we're using everybody. We're not even thinking about the final stage because we know if we don't win this one, there is no final stage. And so it looks like it's going to be, you know, all hands on deck type of situation for them, which goes against what Hara said at the start of the year, where he was like, I want to try and win this this league. Ha, you didn't even get 500, buddy. But he said, I'm going to try and win this league with like maybe 13 position players tops. Like, I don't want to be digging into the bench all the time. I want these guys to instill in these guys that they're playing the full nine innings and they're expected to. And now it looks like they're going opposite. They're like, you know what? We got to use every little bit of talent that we have. And he's right. They're going to need it against the Hanshin Tigers. So who are the bats that we need to make sure that we contain? I'm gonna go for the low-hanging fruit this time and leave you with the leftovers. But Hayato Sakamoto, undoubtedly their most dangerous hitter against the Tigers at Koshien Stadium. This season, his OPS at Koshien is a 1.178. He's hit a lot of long balls at Koshien. He's hit a lot of doubles even at Koshien. And he is the guy in that number two spot. If you can get him out and leave fewer guys on base for, you know, if Maru does happen to be hot, or even the next guy on my list, which is Okamoto. Let's keep in mind that even though he has only one home run in his last 23 games, he's a streaky player and that streak could start anytime. Let's not let it start in the playoffs. Let's have him end his autumn ice cold. What are your thoughts? Who are some guys we need to contain?
Well, so I think I kind of mentioned Maru as being the Okamoto replacement possibly and the guy that we need to mark. So that's a big one for me. But also, gosh, is it Matsubara, their leadoff hitter?
Yep.
I hate facing him.
Me too.
And so I really hope that we contain him because he's the kind of pesky guy that can kind of like ruin your pitcher's day very easily. And so that's the other guy that I want to mark.
Good call. Good call. I actually have him on my list as well. So him and also Yoshikawa, their number eight hitter, which, you know, being lower down in the order might not make him that dangerous a threat. But if you do happen to get like a Wheeler on base ahead of him or Oshiro, then, you know, he could drive in a run or two. So yeah, there, you know, the Giants lineup is pretty dangerous from top to bottom, at least when you look, you know, when you give them the name brand power, they look like an extremely dangerous lineup because, you know, you look at names like Wheeler and Nakata and even Oshiro, who seems to somehow strike fear in at least me. But when you look at the numbers, like, maybe it's just I've you know, I'm getting psyched out by something that's not there.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
So it's going down this weekend, though, everybody. Game one, Saturday, 2 p.m. Japan time. Game two, also 2 p.m. on Sunday, 2 p.m. Japan time. And then game three, if necessary, will be Monday at 6 p.m., also at Koshien Stadium. It will be a chilly one. And actually, it is. We're expected to get some rain on Sunday and or Monday. So it could also be a wet one. Let's hope it's not going to be another, you know, Noah's Ark situation like it was against Ramichan and the Bay Stars in 2017.
Right. Well, if Aoyagi is pitching on Sunday, then I guess the chances of rain are pretty good, huh?
There you go. There you go. And so Aoyagi will strike again. It's uncanny, isn't it?
It is uncanny. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Time to predict some stuff here, Sanjay.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future. Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
So we've talked about the lineups and we've talked about, you know, who's facing who and who's important to contain. We have not predicted how this series is going to go. And instead of just saying Tigers in two or whatever, I want to go with scores and heroes. So what do you think is going to happen in game one? Give me a score.
Well, game one, in my mind, is Sumagano versus Takahashi, which is going to be a low-scoring affair. I'm going with 3-2 Hanshin wins.
Okay, and the hero is going to be?
The hero is going to be Chikamoto.
All right. Okay, cool. I'm actually going to call this one a tie. It's going to be a 2-2 tie. So no hero for me for game one. Game two, possibly Aoyagi against Takahashi. Thoughts on this one?
Game two, I am going to say it's a 1-1 tie.
Interesting. Okay. So no hero for you there.
No hero.
You know what? I'm actually going to go against my heart and I'm going to go with my head and say, actually, the Giants take this one. It is going to be a 3-1 win for the Giants. We're just no good against Takahashi. I'd love to see them prove me wrong and that we score runs, but I'm not so sure. And with our backs against the wall, actually in your situation now, we're done.
We won game one and we tied game two.
And in my situation, we're heading to a game three, which I'm going to call for. I'm saying game three, it is going to be, well, if it's Gunkel, it's Gunkel, whoever, against Yamaguchi. But I think we are going to be able to get some runs early and hold on to this one. Suarez is going to shut her down for the final outs of this, the deciding game three. The Tigers are going to win this one. We're actually going to get like 5 runs in this one, but it's going to be a 5-2 or 3. And the hero of this game is going to be, I haven't decided any of this. I'm just talking off the top of my head. Totally.
Well, then you might as well say Sato.
You know, I was going to say that. I really was going to say that. And so why not? Sato is going to be the hero of this one because he is going to be the one who knocks Yamaguchi out of the game with a big home run.
Yay.
So we have the Tigers advancing. We both have the Tigers advancing. Would you expect anything less out of us to Torakichi? No, you wouldn't. So if all goes well, my friend Sanjay, we are going to be talking at some point before the start of the final stage. If the Tigers are in it against the Swallows, I want to do our next show before that because we got to preview our new Tokyo enemies there as well. But today we actually don't have time for a post-show show, but we do have plans to do a post-game show after game one. If all goes well, if we are both able to get online, and we would like to invite you to join us for that. We might just do like a YouTube live or something like that. So if you're able to join us for that, that would be great. We'll talk Tigers together. There you have it. So thanks for tuning in to the final regular season episode of H10 for 2021. And if you've not gotten your fill of Tigers news, you can check us out on Patreon. The benefits will continue rolling, although everything's free of charge for the months of December and January. So if you want to get on board early, get a taste of what we do, go check us out there. That link is in the show notes. So are the links for our website, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So you can check all that stuff out. I want to give a special thanks to Anwar Amr for the theme music for this year. We may mix it up next year, but for now, we are digging that tune, my friend. And thank you, show, for mixing the show. Thanks, Sanjay, for joining.
Thanks, TJ, for having me. And Ganbare Hanshin Tigers.
Enjoy you some weekend baseball, everybody. Stay safe and Ganbare Tigers.